Start reading in chapter 22, start in verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must surely come be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifies these things say, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You know, our blessed Savior, our blessed Master, gave us a glorious description of the new Jerusalem, which was the bride of Christ. He saw it coming down out of heaven, saw it descending. Then he gave us a description of the city. It was a big city, huge city, 1,400 foot square. Gold streets, pearl gates made out of pearl, and then all these beautiful foundation stones and jewels around it. Tell us about the attributes of God. And in this city, Christ is the Lamb. Don't need the sun, don't need the moon, don't need the stars. But Christ himself is the light of that city. He is the light now. He's our light now. Not only is he the light of this city, but he's our light now. He's our light now. Ain't that what it said there in chapter 1 and verse 21, verse 23? And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. He's our light now. He's our light now. And he'll be the light of that city when we get to glory. And in this city is the throne of God and the throne of the Lamb. Look there in verse 3 and 4 of chapter 22. And there shall be no more curse. The curse is gone. Death is gone, hell is gone, Satan's gone, the harlot's gone, the world's gone. Everything that would bother us is gone. And the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in this city, and his servants shall serve him. And listen to this, and they shall see his face. Oh my, see his face. It says we don't know what we shall be, but we do know this, that when we see him, we shall be like him. And we shall see his face. And also he said his name will be in our foreheads. God will see it. He got a mark on all of us. He's already put the seal on us. We're already his. He's already marked us as his elect. He's already put a seal on us. He sealed us by the Holy Spirit. He sealed us with his name. He sealed us with the blood of Christ. He sealed us with the covenant of grace. He has sealed us. And when we get there, his mark. They had the mark of the beast. We got a mark too. It's the mark of God's elect. It's the mark of those who Christ loved and gave himself for, who died for, those who are written in the Lamb's book of life, and them only is the ones going to be there. And all the inhabitants of this city, this great city that we saw that coming down, this bride of Christ, they're the redeemed. They're the true Israel. Call them conquerors, more than conquerors, elect from every nation. Those whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And it's said in one place here, we've already seen it. These are they. Where did these men come from with all these white garments? These that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony of Jesus Christ the Lord. That's how you overcome. By His blood. Not us. His blood. Not us, but His testimony. What He's told us and what He's testified to us. And our testimony of Him, that we testify that He is all in all. He's all of our salvation. He's all of our righteousness. Everything we have, we got from Him. That's what we testify of. We don't have nothing else to say about anything. We don't even talk about ourselves when we're before God, except to acknowledge our need and to give Him thanks. That's all we do. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And we come now to the closing verses, the conclusion, the end of this study. And may our covenant God in His wondrous mercy bless it to our understanding. Now I want to show you three witnesses to the authority and the truth of the book of Revelation. Not just the Bible, but just this one particular book. That's what he's talking about now. Three witnesses shows the book of Revelation and its authority. And the first witness we find there in verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. He confirms all these visions. He confirms everything that's happened up to this point. Everything that's been said in this book is faithful and it is true. Because God is faithful and God is true. Christ is faithful and Christ is true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets. And he's the Lord God of the holy prophets. Calls his prophets holy. And a prophet in this particular instance is somebody that just tells what God's already said. Nothing new. This is what he said. The prophets. The Lord God of the holy prophets. And listen to what he says now. And send his angel. Sent his angels. To show unto his servants. That word show means to reveal, to show, to reveal something which must come to pass hereafter, shortly hereafter. Now I want you to show that our Lord Jesus Christ said exactly the same thing in Revelation 1:1. I want you to see this. Our Lord said exactly the same thing in Revelation 1:1. And I tell you, he's showing us that this book of Revelation, It's not just John's saying. It's not just John's visions. It's not just the things that we heard about the seven angels, the seven vials, the seven wraths, and the seven bowls. Everything come in sevens. But here, look what it says. And that angel said that he sent his holy prophets, the angels, to show unto them the things which must surely be done. Revelations 1:1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must surely come to pass. And listen to this. And he sent and signified by his angel unto his servant John. Now what angel it is, I don't know. But I know in Exodus, they sent an angel. An angel went before Israel as they went through the wilderness. Angel came behind them. God sent a light by day and a cloud by day and a light by night. But I know this, that he says that he sent his angel. What angel? He sent an angel to Mary. He sent an angel to Daniel. He sent an angel to Elizabeth. And it was an angel that began to sing glory to God in the highest. On earth this day is born unto you in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now I don't know what angel it is. It don't make any difference. God sent him. And he sent him to his prophets. He sent him to his servants, said, I want you to reveal to them the things that's going to happen. I want you to make them understand the things that's going to happen. Must surely come to pass. She must surely come to pass. And listen, he quotes the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself in verse 7. He said, behold, I come quickly. You know our Lord said three different times, behold, I come quickly. Three different times. He said it in Revelations 1. Said it in Revelations 3, and he said it two times here in Revelations 22. Behold, I come quickly. Now, when he says, behold, I come quickly, that means he comes quickly in this life. He comes quickly to save his people. He comes quickly to bless his people. He comes quickly to instruct his people. He comes quickly to try his people. And when he comes again, he's coming quickly. And you know, he said as this lightning comes from the east to the west, he said when the lightning, just how fast that is, he said that's how quick I'll be there. You know, you just see lightning. He said that's how fast I'm coming. That's how fast I'm coming. And I tell you, he said it to all so many times. Behold, I come quickly. Wouldn't you love for him to come quickly tonight just to bless this service? Oh Lord, come quickly. Come into this meeting. Come into this service. Come quick. Come quick to me. Come quick to them. Come quick to their minds. Come quick to their hearts. Come quick to their understandings. Oh Lord, come quick. Come into our minds. Come into our hearts. Come into our wills. Come into our emotions. Oh Lord, come into us. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Don't leave us here alone. Don't leave us here with this old flesh to deal with. Oh, Lord, come quickly. Come quickly. And all he said, listen. And listen to what he said again there in verse 7. And blessed is he that keep the sayings of the prophecy of this book. You're blessed if you believe and keep what God says in this book. In this blessed book. The book of Revelation. And then he says, oh, here's the second witness. John. John the Revelator, the one who saw these visions, the one who God blessed to see. And look what John said. He's the second witness. He said, I, John, saw these things. I've seen some things. I hear some things. Oh, I've seen so many things. And I heard all these things. And you know how many things he's seen? He said, first of all, he was caught up into heaven. There was a door in heaven, and he looked up in that door in heaven. The first thing he saw was a great throne. God was sitting on that throne. There was a rainbow around that throne. There was 24 elders around that throne. And there was four beasts around that throne. And all four of those beasts had all, every one of them had a different, they had faces, heads, tongues, feet, wings, all the things that, and they all spoke of different kinds of men and the things that they do. And he said, I saw all these things, and then I was caught up. Then I was caught up, and all the things that he saw while he was up there. Oh my, you're talking about somebody. God took him to heaven itself. There's three men that God's taken to heaven. They're straight from earth. He took Elijah. He's gone. No, Enoch. Enoch was walking with God and was not. That's one gone. Then Elijah, God took him away. And then John, he said, I, John, was taken up. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He went into the presence of God. And he came back down. He said, tell us what you saw, Paul. Tell us. Tell us what it's like. Well, I've seen this great light. Never seen no light like it. And I come back and I can tell you everything that happened up there. No, Paul didn't say that. He said, the things that I seen, the things that I experienced, the things that I was blessed to see and understand, he said, it's not lawful. I don't have the ability to tell you what I seen. And that's what John's saying here. I seen and I heard some things. And everything that I've seen and heard, and I'll tell you what, and when I'd heard and seen them, and he said, listen to this, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Angel showed him all these things. He saw the seven vials. He saw the seven angels of wrath. He saw the seven of angels that were sent to all four corners of the earth. He saw God on his throne. He saw Christ take the hand, the book, out of God's hand with the seven seals within and without. But here he's this born to this angel, and this angel, this happened twice. He fell down before that angel, got down on his knees, and got down at the foot of them angel, this angel here that Christ sent to tell his prophets what's going to come to pass. And oh my. And you know this happened? This happened when Peter went sent to Cornelius' house. God had to give him a vision, three visions, before he'd ever go to preach to a Gentile. So he went to Cornelius' house, and when he walked in, the first thing they all done, they fell down at his feet. He said, get up! I'm just a man! That's what people want to do. They want to worship anything besides. And this John ought to know, but he fell down before this angel. To worship this angel. And I tell you, look what this angel said. Look what he said in verse 9. Don't do this. He said unto me, don't you do this. Don't you get up, for I'm your fellow servant. I'm a servant like you are. I'm just serving God like you are. I'm just following the commandments of God like you are. I'm just worshiping God like you do. I'm just a fellow servant. I'm not better than you. I'm not worse than you. We're all the same. But he said, I'm your fellow servant. And listen to this. And thy brethren, the prophets. And they said, John, you got some brethren, and they're prophets. They're preachers. That's what he says. And he said, and I'm not thy brethren of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Oh, sin, I tell you what. He said, oh, you worship God. And I tell you, speak, and that this word prophet and prophecy means telling the mind of God and the counsel of God. And it's what it is. It's a declaration of that which cannot be known by any natural means at all. When you're preaching, you're foretelling the will of God in reference to the past, the present, and the future. And that's what he said to him there in verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. I remember Scott saying one time, preaching, he said, all we preachers do is tell you what God's already said. That's all we do. We just tell you what God's already said. We ain't got nothing new to say. It's just, you find some place where God said something, and it may be future where God said it, so we tell you what God said is going to happen in the future. And it may have been something that happened in the past, and we tell you what God did in the past. And if there's something going on in the present, we tell you what God's doing right now. And that's what a preacher does. And that's what he said. We're just telling you what God, and that's why preaching and prophecy declares out the will of God concerning the past, the present, and the future. And this is God's way of showing men things that cannot be known naturally. You can't find it out and figure it out for yourself. And then, oh my. And he said, don't you seal the prophecy of this book. Don't seal it yet. Don't put a seal on it. Don't stop yet. And oh, and then worship God. If an angel says worship God, how much should we worship God? How much we should bow down and worship God and adore God, not have no gods before us. And then we have a serious, serious warning. Look in verse 11 and 12. He that's unjust, let him be unjust still. Now this word let has two meanings. One's positive. He said, let him that's unjust. You remember in Isaiah 58, it says this, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him forsake his way. Let him forsake his way, and his unrighteous thoughts, and look unto me. Look unto me. And then let him forsake him. This let always come first. That's why the scriptures, God asked this question. He said, why will you die? Why will you die? That's the first let that comes. Forsake your ways. Forsake your mind. Forsake your will. Forsake everything that you ever believed and hoped in before you come to know Christ. Forsake it. Why will you die? Why will you die? Why will you perish? And oh, then he comes. The second lest, he says, and let him that's unjust, let him be unjust still. The second means a little withdrawal from God. Says, let him be. One, he says, come to me. Let forsake everything. Come to me. But listen here, let him that's unjust. I'm going to leave that unjust man alone. I'm going to let him stay unjust. I'm going to let him stay unjust. Ain't that what he's saying? And he that's filthy, let him be filthy still. I'm going to withdraw from him. I'm not going to do anything for him. If he's unjust, I'm going to let him stay unjust. If he's filthy in his mind, filthy in his heart, filthy in his imagination, I'm going to let him stay filthy. I'm going to let him stay filthy. Huh? Just let him be. That's what he's saying. Pharisees said, Peter told the Lord Jesus Christ, he offended the Pharisees. He said, let him alone. Just let him alone. Just let him alone. Ephraim forsaking his idols, has turned to his idols. Let him alone. Let him alone. And when God says, let somebody alone. I wonder how many people in this world that God's already let alone. Just let them alone. He'll never speak to them, never come to them, never reveal himself to them. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? But I do know this. Whichever way you leave this world, that's the way you are going to be always. I've said this before, and I know you believe this, and I know you understand this. But if a man perishes unjust, going to hell ain't going to change him. Perishing will not change a man. The only thing that will ever change a man is the Spirit of God. If a man dies hating God, and we've seen that here in Revelations, he said they cursed God, they blasphemed God, and they would not repent of their wickedness and their idolatry. They wouldn't do it. And there's men, I've visited people in the hospital and mentioned God and cussed me. Said, I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. And I tell you, here's the thing about it. That whichever way you leave this world, if you leave this world a filthy, wretched, black, filthy-minded person, you're going to be a filthy-minded person throughout eternity. That rich man that went to hell, he did not ask to come out. He still was, in his mind, he was still rich. He did not ask to come out. He just asked for a little drop of water. That's all he asked for. And that's why I said, whatever way this you leave this world, that's where it's going to be. But now look here. Here's some real wonderful things. wonderful things. And oh, he that's righteous, he's going to stay righteous. He's going to continue to be righteous. And oh my, and he that's holy, oh, let him be holy still. Oh, we ain't going to change when we get to glory either. We're going to still be righteous. We're going to still be holy. We're going to still be holy. And we continue in that holiness. We continue in that righteousness. And then our Lord gives a tender, tender admonition here in verse 13. Oh, such a tender admonition. And behold, I come quickly. There he comes again. That's the second time in this one, three times in this book. Then he said, behold, I come quickly. And listen to what he says now. And my reward is with me. To give every man according to his work shall be. Now, you know, if you looked at that, you'd say, well, God's going to judge us according to our works. But that can't be so according to the rest of the Bible. So what is he saying here? I forget where I was preaching. I said, anybody want to stand up and tell us a good work they've done? Anybody like to stand up and say, listen, I've done a good work. I've done a good work for the Lord. I've done a good work for Jesus this week. I've done a real good work. No, but you wouldn't stand up, would you, and say that? Of course you wouldn't. So what's he saying? Well, look with me in Isaiah 40 in verse 10. This is what he's saying. You know, Abraham, God told Abraham, he said, I'm thy exceeding and great reward. I am. And when he talks about his reward being with him, and what he going to reward us, every man according to his work. And the only work that we look to, and the only work we trust in, is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't trust in anybody's work. And look what it said here in Isaiah 40 and verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And behold, his reward is with him, and his work shall go before him. So he's going to reward us for works we've done, because he considers us believing on him and trusting him, because we're trusting in his work, and that's what he says, his reward's with him. We've already been rewarded. We've got him. We got what he did. We got what he accomplished. And then look with me in Isaiah 62:11. I certainly don't want to be judged for anything I've ever done. You know, every man's work will be tried. That's what, you know, it said over 1 Corinthians. It said every man's work will be tried. Of which foundation it's laid on. If you build on the foundation and it's wood, hay, and stubble, it'll be burned up. It'll be gone. But if you build on the foundation that's laid, which is Christ the Lord, and it's precious jewels and precious stones and gold, then your work will endure. And that's why it says about the prophecy of this book. You build on... You know, when people build their houses, and preachers are building houses for people that, you know, build on sand. And they build on sand, and they build a house for people, and it won't stand. It won't stand. But I tell you, when Christ, he's our house, and I tell you what, if we're built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. No other foundation can be laid. And then Paul, other than Jesus Christ, and Paul said, I'm not going to build, when I come to Rome, I'm not going to build on another man's foundation. I'm not sure that he laid the right foundation. I'm not going to build on another man's foundation. He said, I'm going to start my own foundation, because I know what kind of foundation I'll lay. I know what foundation's already been laid, and I'm going to build on that foundation. I'm not going to trust what anybody else done. He said, I'm not going to build on somebody else's foundation. And look what he said here now in Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Oh, listen. We're at the end. He said, I'll proclaim to the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion. That's the church. Behold, thy salvation comes. And behold, his reward is with him. And his work before them. And listen to this. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. And I tell you, a city that'll never be forsaken. He's just rewarded us. We don't need to be rewarded. Oh, my. Oh, listen. He said, behold, I come quick to my words with me. Don't become hardened in unbelief and continue in sin. And I tell you, his reward is for his work, his work, his work, to give a man according to his work. His work went with him. All right, now look down here in verse 14. You know, the promises of our Lord, they have eternal consequences, because it says, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning. I'm the end. I'm the first and I'm the last. So whatever he says, whether it's a judgment or it's a promise, it's got eternal consequences to it because he's the beginning. Then he gives us a blessed, he gives us a beatitude. There's a bunch of beatitudes in the beginning of this book, but here's a beatitude. That beatitude just means a blessing. Verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the cities. Oh my, blessed are they. Blessed are they that do or keep his commandments. Now, who in the world can do this? Who can do this? Jeremiah said it like this. He said, though thou wash thyself with nitre, and wash thyself with all the soap you can find, you cannot make yourself clean. You can't do it. You can't do it. And who can do this? Well, I'm going to show you something. Look in 1 John 3. Let me show you something over here in 1 John 3. Talking about a commandment. 1 John 3. Look down at verse 23. You know, his commandments are not grievous. The way of the transgressor is hard. And this is the commandment. This is the commandment now. This is it. Our Lord said, listen, I'm going to show you something. He said, this is the commandment. He commanded us that we should love one another. But this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in the Spirit by which he hath given us. So, oh my, that's one commandment. Two commandments we've kept. We believe on his name, and we love one another. He said, they commanded us to do that. That's two commandments we kept. Two commandments we kept. And so listen, when he talks about the commandment, he's not talking about the Ten Commandments. He's talking about love one another and believe on the name of his blessed Son. He made that very clear in the New Testament. And listen to this, that they may have right to the tree of life. When he says they may have right to the tree of life, you know, the tree of life flows down, the river comes down through there, and the tree of life on either side of it has 12 manner of fruit. That they may have the right to the tree of life. Now, what does this word right mean? That means that he's going to allow us to do it. Remember this, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the power to become the sons of God. And that's the same thing he's saying here. They may have right, the power, to the tree of life. I'll give it to them, tree of life. and we can enter in through the gates into the city. That's a mysterious thing to me. We are the bride of Christ, and yet we got these gates and to go in and out. Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to quit preaching and tell you what I think. I think that when it talks about this city, this bride coming down, and in that bride, Christ got his throne in there, God's got his throne in there, that's lighted up. But there's this new heaven and then this new earth. And we go out in this new heaven and this new earth. And we're not going to raise watermelons. We're not going to raise squash. We're not going to do any of that kind of stuff. But there's not going to be no curse on it. It's going to be paradise. It's going to be greater than Garden of Eden could ever possibly be. Everybody on this new heaven, new earth is righteous, sinless, perfect. Can go in and out and go in and out in the presence of God. So we'll go out in the out and do whatever we'll do. I don't know what we'll do. And I ain't going to speculate what we're going to do. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, if you like cold weather, just say, I want cold weather, and you'd be out in a snowstorm. Another said, if you like hot weather, boom, just think about it, and you'd be on the desert. He said, I'm going to let my sanctified mind run. Well, it ran a little too far. I don't know if we can think like, I can't even get my mind around being there, and much less what it's going to be like. But I do know this. That's the only way, that's the only explanation there can be. We got this new heaven, new earth, and we go in and out of that city. That's the bride of Christ. Christ is on his throne. We go in and out and we see him face to face. Oh, that's just, that's the only explanation you can have. And I don't know if that's true, or I don't know if it's right or not. That's why, you can take that or leave it. But I tell you, his reward's with him. And then look what he says there in verse 15 now. Because outside that city, the dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whoever loveth and maketh a lie. Now remember, this city is the bride of Christ. None of these people are in Christ's body, not in Christ's. In the bride of Christ. Now listen to me, a sorcerer. What's a sorcerer? Dogs, an old, sorry, filthy dog. Sorcerers are people that, I'll read you palm. We'll go through the tarot cards. I told you one time I was in Philadelphia and went by this fortune teller's house. She's a fortune teller. That's a sorcerer. And I tell you what, she must have been really popular because they had a big glass out in front of it, and they had a couple couches in there, and those couches were full, waiting on to go in there and see that woman, tell them her future. If anybody could tell me my future, I don't want to know it. God said, don't say I'm going to this city and that city, and I'm going to buy and sell and get gain. He said, if it's the Lord's will, I'll go to that city and I'll do this and I'll do that. And that's sorcerer. And then look what else he says. Whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and listen to this one. Whoso loveth and maketh a lie. Let me tell you, two lies that started centuries ago, started in the Garden of Eden. Two lies. God loves everybody, and Christ died for everybody. And you know how many people make that lie and love that lie? And oh, how many people make God to be something in the end? He said, well, God would save you if you'd let him. He loved and make a lie. And I'd rather lie about anything as lie on God. And I said, he that loveth and maketh a lie. Those folks love it, and they make it, and keep on making it. And then look what else he goes on to say. Oh my. And I, Jesus, has sent mine angel, verse 16. to testify unto you these things in the churches. I've sent it to the things in the churches. And I tell you, I've sent my angel to testify these things in the churches. The revelations tended for all the churches throughout the centuries. Not just John, but Christ himself is the author of this book. And he says this. He says, I'm the author. He said, I'm the root and offspring of David. And what that means is that he's the descendant of David. He's David after the flesh. And everything that David is, he owes to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, his fame, his position, Christ gave it to him. And then he says he's the bright and the morning star. You know, when he says he's the offspring of David, he's David's son. He's God and he's man. He's lowly, and yet he was a king coming into Jerusalem riding on a colt, the foal of an ass. And listen to this. He's the bright and morning star. Numbers says, you know, that he saw a star coming out of Jacob. And there was a star over the Lord's, where the Lord was born. And then look what he says. He said, oh my, our Lord promised to come quickly. And he says here in verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. This is not the actual event but these that they responded to, but his coming in all history at all times. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Lord Jesus, come. Like Houston, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what this is. Come, Lord. And let him that hear tells people to come. And let him that is athirst, he's thirsty, let him come. Huh? Carry out your plan, carry out your purpose and time in your coming. Come, come. Oh, and that's what he's saying, come, come. And before your final coming, he said, just keep on coming. Keep on coming. Keep on coming. And he that, and listen to this in verse 18, let me finish this up. And he says, take it freely. Take out everything that you got freely. Let him take the water of life freely. It's free. The Holy Spirit gives freely. Glorious grace. Christ already paid the price. The fountain's open. And then he says this, for I testify every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. I know I'm taking too long, but let me say this. Let me tell you three things that most people's added to the book of Revelation. They added a 1,000-year reign, Christ reigning in Jerusalem. They added a rapture, which the scriptures don't know nothing about. And they added a tribulation period, 7-year tribulation period. They added three things to the book of Revelation. And none of those things are true. Ain't that right? Yeah. That rapture, God's going to sneak in here and take his church out and everybody else got to put up with it. No, don't happen like that. And then he goes on to say, if you do this, you add unto him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add unto you the plagues that are written in this book. You think you've had some troubles before? Said, you ain't seen nothing yet what I'm going to do to you. And then in verse 20, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, take away from it, change it in any way, take away from the seriousness of it, the truth of it, the facts of it, the warnings of it, oh, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in these books. These are just warnings, warnings, warnings. That's a final warning. God is the author of this book, and look what he says down in verse now. He which testifieth these things, say, I come quickly. You know what we say? Amen. Oh, amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, let it be so. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come. And he said, until he comes, The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you. Amen. Amen.